Protect our minds. We declare this morning our lips are anointed and our minds alert. And Father, we give you praise and we give you glory in advance for your heart is changed and transformed by the power of your word. Holy Spirit, we give you permission to move in this service as you desire. We commit this into your hands that you will bless every heart. Not one soul leave disappointed or dissatisfied, but let them meet Jesus, the Lord of their lives. And we bless you this morning. We give you praise in Jesus' name. And everybody shout amen. Amen. Raise your Bible, iPad, iPhone, and repeat after me. Praise the Lord. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. I'm a believer, not a doubter. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. I shall be taught faith today, and my life shall never be the same again after hearing the word of faith. People are coming from the north, from the south, from the east, and from the west. They're coming. Word of life. Way church. The city church. They're coming to be healed, delivered, transformed, and blessed. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. May be seated. Thank you for coming. Out of all the good churches you can, to the great church, truly a church like none other. We're in our lesson this morning. We're talking about up in my faith. Shall up in my faith. I believe you ought to get your faith up. If you're going to enjoy this Christian life, you got to walk by faith and not by sight, because life is filled with disappointments. Life is up one day and down the next day, but when you walk by faith, you are the same all the time because you're not dependent upon situations or events. You're not moved by what you see, but only by what you believe, and what you believe will never change because your faith should be in the word of God. So what I believe will never change. So whenever I get my faith up in the word of God and begin to trust God for all these things in life, then I believe life will be a whole lot better. Jesus made this statement in Matthew 6:33. Could you put it on the screen for me, please? Matthew 6:33. And watch this now. Oh, I'm a screenwriter there, Lord Jesus. Hey, there you go. Say, but seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, look, and all these things shall be added unto you. Now, we didn't go back up in the preceding verses. The preceding verses talking about don't worry about this because you can't change nothing, all that kind of stuff. And he said, you take no thought for your life, what you eat, all that kind of stuff. He said, your father knows you have need of all these things. In other words, God knows you have need of all these things before you ask him. So he said, now, your concern should be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. He said, then God going to add. You look around, and what you thought you needed, you have that and much more. Because you're not focused on things, you're focused on him. And so once we get our faith off of our stuff and get it on him, then it's going to be a whole lot better. You know, I was, I hate to say it like this, because I hope people don't misunderstand me. I watching a lady the other day. As a matter of fact, we saw it in last week. Weekend went out past us. Still, people were really hurting and they're crying and devastated. Those whose faith is anchored in the Word, they know they're gonna be all right. Because the storm that just went through Florida, somebody said we can replace houses and things, but we can't replace life. That's what the mayor said when the people evacuate. She said, we can replace your property. We can't replace you. So when we get our You need some sound wisdom, because sometimes we jump before we think things out. So now, in verse 14, he said, but not long after. Sometimes we make these plans to do something, but after we get in there, something changed. Unexpected stuff change. Stuff that you didn't really plan for or prepare for. You know, oh, Lord Jesus. Ooh, a lot of stuff. So, marriage. Good thing. How many of y'all have some unexpected turns in marriage? Oh, yeah, man, I know how it is. You know, we love you and everybody going to do good, everything going well, and man, seem like ain't nothing go wrong. All of a sudden, somebody pulled a chair from up under you. Y'all good? Y'all all right? Look at them married folks. Hold your head up and look high. I don't know what I'm talking about you. Okay. No, we had the unexpected turns in marriage. No, really, because you got these imperfect people trying to have a perfect situation. You're going to have dips in your marriage. Life is filled with dips. But you got to know how to handle the dips. You need a solid word in the midst of when you're going through. You know, I know that day when I went to work back in Georgia years ago. And where's God? He talked about me when you dropped the trailer. Okay, but I went to work today like I normally go to work. But all of a sudden, I'm caught up in the spirit. You know, you don't need to pray and work too. You know, do one or the other. I'm driving the trailer and the truck and stuff, and I'm backing up in the hole and getting it all in the dock and ready to unload. Then I'm getting ready to pull out because I did the fifth wheel, you know, unhooked it on bucket from the tractor from the trailer, and I pull out and I forgot to let the dollar wheel down, and that thing dropped right to the ground. You ever know what I'm talking about, right? When you drive, you let the wheel down that trailer. You got to go down. You got to get a tow truck to bring it all back up and all that good stuff. That's called extra money. But I wasn't expecting that to happen to me. And that man fired me. Well, he really fired me. He really fired me that day, but he couldn't fire me that day. But we had a union. Had a union meeting. And they said, well, we just have to let you go. They laid me off. Laid me off about 3 months or whatever to the next union meeting. But that was an unexpected event in my life, and that changed my life forever. That one event changed my life forever. It changed forever. Matter of fact, it really for the good. It really for the good. It was for the good. But I wasn't expecting to leave that little chicken plant, because everybody worked at the chicken plant. They had two chicken plants out there in the city, and that's where everybody get a job at. You had a chicken plant or a mobile home plant. That's about all I had in Georgia. Chicken plant or mobile home plant. And so, but when that guy let me go, I found me a little gig selling ice cream on the street. Y'all all right? But no, that event, unexpected. What happened when you hit these unexpected events in your life? He said, you count it all joy. Should I count it all joy? So Paul said, now, after we left the dock, man, but all of a sudden now, that what we trusted in has now left us. They trusted in that ship, but that ship got torn. If you read the whole story, that ship got destroyed. That Euroclodon was a storm that come up unexpectedly. And sometimes you have storms in your life come up unexpectedly, stuff you don't plan for, stuff you haven't prepared for, and you got to know how to deal with those situations that you have not prepared for. You got to know, God, I'm trusting you in this situation. That's why we don't put our hope and our trust in things. That's why we don't trust in the arms of the flesh. We trust in the living God. So when I put my faith in God, no matter what the tide turns, no matter how the tide turns, I'm going to be okay. So I'm going to be okay. Now, I got to realize that no matter what goes on tomorrow, I'm all right. I got a point somewhere. I'm not afraid of my future because I know who holds my future. I'm not worried about tomorrow. You know, I thank God my tomorrow is going to be good and great. But what happens if it don't be good and great? I'm still going to be okay. Y'all good? But watch this now. So he said now, go to 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse number 20. Because the thing I trust now has been taken away from us. They trusted in the ship. They trusted in the job. They trusted in the retirement, in the 401ks and all that good stuff. And now that stuff is leaving, and now we have no hope. The Bible said in the same chapter, Acts 27, Paul said, when all hope that when she was saved, well, then take it away. He said, but I believe God. Should I believe God? No matter when hope try to dash yourself and go out the back door, you still got to believe God. When people snatch a rug from under you, you still must believe God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, and look at verse number 20. I'm reading the last part of the verse. Well, if you aren't, read the whole part. And they rose early in the morning and went forth into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went forth, Jehoshaphat stood up and said, hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Watch this now. Believe in the Lord your God, so shall you be established. And believe his prophet, so shall you prosper. Thank you. So now you got to make a decision. I'm going to believe in God. He's going to settle me and establish me. I'm going to believe the man of God. I'm going to prosper. That's why you need a man of God who hears from God, who gives the word of God in your situation. That's why coming to church and listening is so important. Because you may not be in a storm now, but you got one coming. Each one of us, we have been in a storm, or we're in a storm, or we're going into a storm. That's just life. And that's not negative. That's just preparing you for what's coming. You got to, you know, that's, and don't give in the morning. Is the storm coming today? No. No, that ain't what I'm talking about. But whenever things happen, you know what to do. So when the hurricane came, I wasn't afraid of the hurricane. You know why? I was prepared. I had ample time to get ready. I had water stored up. I had water in the bathtub upstairs. I had water in the bathtub downstairs. We got a big old tub downstairs. That big old soaker, that thing got the jets on it. That thing hold about 9 gallons. Like, I had that thing full of water. I had the bathroom sinks upstairs full of water. You know, I had water where I had water in the freezer that froze that made me two big containers of ice. I was ready. I had me a survival kit. Y'all okay? And they said, well, you're going to flood. Well, I have three stories in my house. So I went in the third story, and I put me a hatchet up there. Y'all okay? I got me a little powerless, a cordless saw. Y'all okay? I had me a survival kit with vinegar sauce, sardines, and crackers. Y'all okay? No. If we're going to get in on the third floor, sit the girl in the eye, and the dog will be okay. I had dog food up in the bag right there. Because if it got so bad, what the water got somehow, what we couldn't get out, I'm going to cut a hole in the roof. The only thing I didn't have that I couldn't find was a life jacket. Because she can't swim, I can swim. You okay? So I'm going to get some life jacket next time they put up there. Y'all all right? I'm going to get stuck in the house. I was ready. And then it didn't come. Hey, but I'm not disappointed. Y'all all right? No, but you got to prepare yourself. You got to educate yourself. You got to hear some word, hear some wisdom and some knowledge and some understanding. Believe the prophet. Yes. You'll prosper. But I ain't no storm coming. No, I'm a man of faith. But I'm also a man of wisdom. I understand about life. I understand things happen that we don't respect. I don't expect none of my people to die today, but if we do, we okay. Y'all all right? I don't expect nothing bad. I'm not looking for no bad phone call, but if it does, I'm not going to get uptight. Before my mama passed, I educated myself, and I got myself prepared for my mama's leaving. And so I said, now, if they call me that my mama's dead, what you going to do? Y'all all right? Is this too carnal? No, I told myself, there are no point in me trying to rush to Georgia crying because my mama's dead. I ain't going to get up and pack no bag and go tonight. For what? She's already dead. Y'all don't be come and see that. That's me. I'm just too carnal. So I said, if she called, if she passed and they call me, then I'll wait proper time to go. I'll be like Jesus, wait 4 days, okay? And then I go with my head, you know, screwed on right, and going crying over everybody, mama dead. Y'all okay? You got to prepare yourself for things that's unexpectedly. That's all I'm telling you. Thank God for faith. We ought to live by faith. But we got to understand that James said last week, now, my works without my faith is dead. Shall proper planning prevent poor performance? The five P's. You know the five P's, right? So now watch this now. Let's get to about the lesson. Oh, boy. Go to 2 Kings 4. Y'all all right? I'll give y'all a lot of scripture this morning. Y'all all right? Let's talk about the Shunammite woman. 2 Kings chapter 4. Verse 23. and verse 26. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 23, and I'm going to skip to verse 26. I'm not going to do all that reading. Watch this now. So he said, why are you going to him today? It is neither the new moon nor the Sabbath. And she said, as well. Come on, y'all. Well, y'all can read, right? 26 says, run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And she answered, it is well. Now, hold up. Thank you, sir. Now, the story is, Shunammite woman, the man of God come that way every year. And so they said, let's build a room on the house for the man of God. He's a good man. So they built a room for the man of God on the side of the house and for the prophet and the servant. And so Elijah said, told Gehazi, what does she lack in? What? He said, she don't need nothing, man, because this sister girl is a diva. She got it hooked up. And he said, I don't see no little child running around the house. We see all this stuff, but there ain't no tricycle, no trampoline, ain't none of that stuff right here. So he said, oh, she need a boy. And the man of God prophesied, by the next year this time, you have a son. And she said, nah, man, don't play with me now. Don't mess with me now. Don't play with me. I don't need no hassle. Now, so the man of God prayed, and the woman had a boy. So one day they out in the field working, and the boy said, oh, my head. Y'all remember? Oh, my head. Okay. And the boy died. She takes him and put him on the prophet's bed. Y'all get to read the story. I ain't got time to read the story. And now she said, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to the man of God. I believe her name was Jody. Jody from Shunem. Okay. And she had a servant, and I believe his name was Clyde. Y'all know I'm going to the story. And so she told Clyde, you saddle the donkeys and let's ride. So my question to you is, what did Jody say to Clyde? Ride, Clyde, ride. Okay. Okay. That's one of my highlights on my sermon. Okay. No. So and she said, you ride, Clyde, and don't you slack up for nothing unless I tell you. And she get to the man of God and Gehazi said, that like the woman from Shunem coming. And she said, now, he said, is everything all right with y'all? She said, it's all as well. Now, watch this now. 26. And 26 says, please run now to me here. Go to 27 for me. I need to show you 27. And when she came to the man of God, to the hill, watch this, she caught him by the neck. Now, I know it said feet. But she wanted to catch him by the neck. Watch this now. She caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord has hid it from me and has not told me about it. And watch this now. She told him, man, don't play with me. Y'all all right? I don't need no more trouble in my life. He prophesied a boy in her life. And now the boy is dead. She went to grab him by the neck and shake him. I told you, don't bother my soul. Y'all all right? Yes. Unexpected stuff happened. We go crazy. And berserk was still happening that we had not planned or prepared for. Yeah. She wanted to catch him by the neck and choke him. Because I didn't have this problem before I had the boy. Oh, that's so good. I'd have had this problem before I got you. No, you don't need to hear that. Because sometimes people feel that way. When stuff happens unexpectedly and don't know how to deal with life crisis, we start blaming and pointing at people. It's your fault because I'm in this situation. If you had not done this, I wouldn't be here today. Y'all all right? But you got to learn how to handle life's crisis, man. You got to go back to the Word of God. You got to do like Matthew 6:33. Seek you first the kingdom of God and all the righteousness. He'll bring the peace in. Okay, all right. So now, she said, now, all is well. In the midst of all her troubles she had, she said, it's still well. How are you counting situations in your life? Because James said, you count it. You count it. You regard it with joy. You look at the situation and say, it's still well, Pastor. It's still going on, Pastor. Yeah, that's some terrible times going on, but I'm not focused on that. I'm focused on what God has said and what you taught us. I'm going to stand on my faith in this situation. Now, I'm not going to give up and give in and get mad at folk because it's not going right. I know that the people caused the problem, but that's a spirit behind it. And as a demon been sent to hell to hold you back. Okay, all right, okay. And now, verse number 3, James 1 and 3 said this. Knowing that this test of your faith produced patience, that the trial of your faith worketh patience. Thank you. So the problem is not about you, it's about your faith. Because without faith, it's impossible to please God. So if the devil can get you in doubt and get you all messed up in your life, get you your crazy thinking, then he's going to keep you from believing God. And you'll start blaming God for stuff God didn't even do. You know, all these storms that we're having and more that's coming, insurance company call them the act of God. This is an act of God. Why they don't tell the truth? This is an act of Satan. It don't sound too good. The act of Satan. No, this is the devil's doing, but God getting the blame. And I'm getting paid. Shout, I'm getting paid. Y'all better talk up. No. In other words, James said now, you got to know this. If you don't know this, you're going to go through life beat up. I got to get up in the morning knowing that whatever test come, if one come, this trying my faith. I got to test my faith because I read somewhere that the space shuttle, the tiles they put on it, they put it through this rigorous test. And they put all the heat to it, and they said that they don't have a problem with it going out, but when they come back into this environment, they don't want to break it up and tear it apart. So they had to test the tiles before they use them. God got to test your faith before he really use you. That's so good right there. That's so good. I remember when we come here, I didn't tell you all of my life story, but this one part you haven't heard before, that I had some issues in my life, and personal issues in my life that nobody knew about, I don't think. And I'm wondering, there's some challenges that I was having. And I said, God told me to come to this city. It was a test of my faith. And so when I came, I faced some challenges that nobody knew about. And I said, now, I have been proven in this situation, if not God won't put me in this assignment. Not really. God never gives you an assignment unless he's already proven you before he put you there. Because God didn't put us up to fail. This new series coming on, I saw all the night advertising. They say we'd rather fail down here than to fail up there. So we're going out of space somewhere. God said, I'd rather you to fail now before you get out there. Y'all okay? So he tests our faith. That's that sovereign test. Not to hurt us, but it is to develop character in us because, you know, he don't need nobody flunking by the wayside now. Heard the other day another priest just resigned, a big priest in the Catholic organization. This one, no peon. He's a top dog because of this sexual scandal that's going on in that organization. Well, I want you to know, God said, I'm not putting no pervert down the pulpit. Oh, yeah, right there. Preach right there with the tailor. No, he's not promoting perverts. You molesting children saying, hey, I'm called of God. They say you're a man of the cloth, but I say you're the man of the claw. You rip up people's lives with them claws. So James teaches us now, we got to know this, that the trying of my faith is going to produce patience. Shout patience. Now, it says, now it is your faith which is peculiar, obnoxious to Satan and to the world. If you had not faith, they would be enemies. They would not be enemies of yours. He says, now, this is us. Thanks, Spurgeon said that. You know, Charles Spurgeon said a lot of stuff, man. I love Spurgeon writing. He said, if you didn't have faith, the devil would be your enemy. He'll be your friend. No, really. You know. But because you have faith in Jesus and have the faith of Jesus, the faith of God, then watch this now. You don't get caught up with the crazy stuff. Shut crazy stuff. Now, so faith now is the mark of the chosen God, of the chosen of God. And therefore, his foes become his foes to all the faithful. So because I'm chosen of God, God's enemy become my enemy. In other words, I don't lay in bed with God's enemies. Hallelujah. Let me skip. Forgot 5 minutes. Let me skip. I want to get one of these points I got. My next topic will be, oh, my God, I ain't there yet. I got so much stuff. I want to get to this. I got 4 points I want to talk about on my topic next week. My topic next week is going to be upholding my ground. In that, I got to uphold my ground against oppositions, against opponents. Watch this. And then I got to uphold my ground against being overwhelmed. I want to sneak ahead and talk about being overwhelmed for the next 5 minutes. Is that all right? Because sometimes we get overwhelmed with life. And we get overwhelmed with situations. We were in a restaurant somewhere, and this girl was in Alabama somewhere. That girl got overwhelmed, and she couldn't keep up with us. She said, I'm just overwhelmed. You know, about 8 or 10 of us there, and one lady working the table, and she just saying, I want hot tea, you know, right? I want my water hot, you know, this ain't hot, take it back. Somebody, I need some of this. Man, I need this. She just got overwhelmed. She said, I'm overwhelmed. It's to overcome you completely and to bombard your mind with stuff where you can't even think. You might have been there before. You just can't think straight. It's like you in a daze. I'm driving, like, I don't know where I'm going. Am I really on the road? Life like that. So overwhelm, it will stifle your faith. Being overwhelmed will stifle your faith. Number two, being overwhelmed, it shuts down your ability to focus properly. Number three, being overwhelmed is to burden you, to bear you, and to bind you with the cares of this life. Luke 21:34, Jesus made this statement. But take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and cares of this life, and that day come on you unexpectedly. He said, don't get so overwhelmed, you get caught up with making the living and forget about making a life with God. I just got to go to work. I got to go to work. We get caught up with God to take care of the cares of this life that we forget about time to pray and time to study and time to seek the face of God. We get caught up and we're drunk on the cares of this life. Being overwhelmed because I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm just bearing all this stuff, all these burdens on my shoulder. Pastor, help me some kind of way. You know, just reach out. You're like a drowning man reaching out for a straw. A straw won't save a drowning man. Because he's overwhelmed, he wants anything that you throw to him. Life overwhelms us. He said, I will not be overwhelmed by my situation, that being past, present, or future. The woman, she said, Shulamite woman, Sister Jody, she said, all is well. Although my baby's home on your bed, prophet, he's dead, but all is well. I'm not going to be overwhelmed by this situation. Yeah, I know I got troubles on the horizon, but I'm not going to be overwhelmed by it. I'm going to take authority over that situation. My past, I will not be overwhelmed by my past. That's failures or successes. I will not be overwhelmed with my present condition, whether good or bad. I will not be overwhelmed by my future because I'm not afraid of my future. I know who holds my future. My seed may leave my life, may leave my hand, but never leave my life. It goes into my future and which of my arrival. And I tell my seed, I'll see you real soon. Y'all okay? No. The offer you got this morning, it left your hand and went through that door, but it didn't leave your life. It's going now to prepare a better thing for you on tomorrow, a better thing next month. It's making ways that you have no clue that it's working on your behalf. Your seed, you can't see, but it's working. So don't be overwhelmed when offer time comes. You talking about give $500. You know what time it is? Yes, I know what time it is. Time you sold $500. Okay. Don't be overwhelmed. Wow, that's a lot of money. That's not a lot of money until you need it real bad, right? Okay. No. You say, no, we need to be overwhelmed with situations because we know God is in control. No matter what storm blows on the sea, no matter what comes up unexpectedly, we're going to be all right. So we're going to be okay. You got to tell yourself that. Because that situation tell you, you ain't got no job, you ain't got no money saved, you scraping down your bar from everybody and nobody. Now that little borrowing avenue about to shut down on you, you can't go back three times to the same person. Y'all okay? You better know what to do in these situations. Don't be overwhelmed. Don't be caught off guard. Build your faith up right now. Shut up in my faith. Shut up. Off my seat and on my feet. Thank you. But let me stand, y'all. Let me stand, y'all. No. You got to get your faith up. You got to get your faith up. This is how we prepare for the unexpected. So no matter what tried to blindside us, we ready. Shall we ready? No matter how many storms they announce us coming, we ready. We're ready. Because our faith is not in the storms. It's not in our survivor kits. But thank God for all that stuff. It's in the Word of God. Father, I thank you for the Word this morning. I bless you and I give you praise and I give you glory. Lord, I give you honor. I thank you this morning for preparing our hearts that we count all these things with joy. No matter what storm arises, no matter what they name it, no matter what they call it, no matter what life throws at us, we stand on the Word. Our ship that saves us is the Word of God. The natural ships may be torn apart, but God, we stand on the Word. And those men were saved because the Word you gave by the Apostle Paul, and he said, I believe God. And that was their lifeguard to get them through there. So, Father, I thank you today. We believe you in every situation. Thank you for securing us and protecting us and providing for us. And we bless you this morning. We give you praise. Now, Holy Spirit, I trust now the Word of God went forth. That you touch the hearts of the unbelievers, the doubters, the naysayers. That you move upon every heart. And that you begin to bring Jesus to the forefront of their mind, because it's all about Jesus. So I thank you this morning for Jesus being in the midst of us. So as the appeal is made, there'll be a great response. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for coming this morning. We can't let you go without giving you the opportunity to see Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. So I don't know your position in life. I don't know where you stand. I don't know what's going on in you. But if you're not born again, I believe the greatest gift in life.